Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Karen Cannon. Welcome to another segment of the Law of Attraction and Love radio show. At Law of Attraction and Love, our purpose is to help couples and singles manifest the most ideal, loving, conscious relationship they can. And today I have a very special guest. I am sharing with you my very own spiritual healer and relationship counselor, Patricia Lee Jones, and we're going to be talking about experiencing relationship through presence and joy rather than woundedness. And this has been a topic that I've been really, really interested in over the last year or so. So, you know, in the past, it was really common for couples to attract each other through their pain and traumatic experiences, and I know that's been true of myself and my former husband. But now we're looking to create conscious relationships that aren't based on our traumas, and we're going to be talking to Patricia Lee Jones about this today. And actually, I call her Pat, so we're going to call her Pat today. And before I introduce her, I just want to thank you for listening to the show. If you have been listening over a long period of time, one of the 10,000-plus listens, thank you very, very much. Really appreciate it. And if you're listening to the archive, it's great as well. And just so you know, you can call in live to ask a question of our guest today, and the number to call in is 347-945-6313, and then you hit the number one so we know your hand's up. Otherwise, you can just listen to the show. Again, the number is 347-945-6313, and I'll be reminding everyone of that number a little later in the show as well as people trickle in. And if you're listening to us live on the web, thank you for joining us. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know, just in case everybody who's on the show doesn't know, we actually did an interview earlier, but you may not recognize Pat's name because she was Patricia Lee Dion before, and she recently got married, so congratulations, Pat.
Thank you.
Well, I'd love to start with just a little bit about your story, you know, how you kind of discovered, you know, yourself through relationship, and how is, you know, this current, you know, romantic relationship been different from you? How have you grown from that? And just to give our listeners just a little bit of flavor about your life and how you came to be who you are today.
Well, that's quite a question.
Yeah, we could spend probably a while on this.
Yeah. But, you know, I have also always personally framed my life around the context of relationship because I feel it's very important, and it's the most dynamic process and energy that we go through and experience in our life. Everything seems to be in that context. And so my own personal growth and self-reflection has always been through that context. And, yes, I was previously married for almost 10 years and went through a transition around that and then cut into a place where I was ready to experience something different and very fitting with what your show's about through the Law of Attraction. I feel really tuned into what I wanted, and that quickly came about within a week, I think.
Wow.
My present husband and I connected, and we just wanted to be together. And the energy of the relationship, this is where I really started seeing how the larger energies were shifting, but was also seeing it through my personal relationships as well. And the cycles of energy where we were first connecting through what I would call woundedness, through sharing our pain and our challenges, seemed to be shifting, and now the guidance that I was receiving and what I was being drawn towards was really sharing more joy in relationship. And what relationship was becoming more about was what we could give to our partners rather than what we were taking and what we were needing, what we were feeling like we wanted. And so it's a very different perspective to come through, and just very personally, is a happier place to be in your life when you're coming from that place and that perspective. But it really means letting go of the last remnants of victim mentality. So I know that that has been very personally challenging for me, but when you can do it, it's also very empowering as well. So I'm very glad to be sharing what I have learned and experienced through this process, and also what I have been seeing going on with my clients as well, that I see these same shifts occurring in their relationships as well. So it's a very exciting time to be looking at and trying to grow in our most intimate connections.
Oh, absolutely. And being one of your clients, I'm certainly mirroring all of that, and I totally, you know, see this whole pattern. And what, if I'm getting this correctly, what you're saying is that it's not just about one or two of us that are experiencing this shift in relationship from going from a, you know, connection through woundedness to a new place where you're really looking at giving your whole self rather than seeing what you can get from the other person and trading that. But you're saying that the whole consciousness of the planet is changing in relationship. Is that did I get that right?
Yes, yes. Spirit, the universe, God, consciousness, whatever label you want to put on it, is really kind of like pushing us forward into this new way of being. And it's quite a challenge, but it's a very joyful challenge at the same time.
Great. Well, before I ask you the next question, I just want to, just if anybody's just tuning in, I'm interviewing Patricia Lee Jones, formerly Patricia Lee Dion, my spiritual healer and personal relationship counselor. And today we're talking about experiencing relationship through presence and joy rather than woundedness. And if you'd like to call in and ask a question live, the number to call in is 347-945-6313. Again, that number is 347-945-6313. And just hit the number one so we know that your hand is up. So, Pat, what happens when people are still connected through their current relationship, through that kind of wounded, traumatic place? What are you seeing in your clients or in your practice? What's happening?
Well, the first thing that I want to really preface everything with is to stay out of judgment, that even connecting with another person through woundedness has its purpose, and we're not going to move totally away from that because there's so much learning and growth that we get to experience in that connection. But it really is about taking responsibility for that and trying to relate not just through that connection, but expanding it. You know, we're coming through a cycle of time where, you know, going back to like our parents' generation, there was not a lot of intimate sharing. It was a lot of connection based on survival, about, you know, working and raising a family. And, you know, husbands and wives and partners didn't necessarily have a lot of, you know, intimate talks about how they were feeling. They just kind of like got through their life and through their day. And then around the time of the 60s, when there was like this whole download of perception that was going on, it became all about sharing everything,
right,
putting everything out on the table. And Carolyn Mace puts it beautifully. She says, you know, this became our first language of intimacy, and it was woundedness. So now everything became about sharing our pain, sharing our wounds, sharing our traumas, and people began to experience very intimate connection with other people because this was kind of like opening up to their inner selves in a way that they hadn't before. So now we're moving into a period of time where it's like the pendulum is trying to find a center.
Mm.
So it's about, you don't have to share every detail about every something that has, quote, traumatized you, either in the past or in the present, because that just continues to feed this perception that basically I am a wounded, traumatized person, and I'm fragile, and I need to put these experiences and these feelings out there to have you validate me and to have you support me, and this is how I know intimacy. So rather, we're trying to shift into a new place where there's a very basic perception that I don't need this other person to be okay. I don't need this other person to validate my sense of well-being or my sense of reality even. That this other person is in your life just to add to the joy in your life, and you to offer that to that person as well. So it's kind of like, you know, the cherry on top of the sundae. It's something that's wonderful and you can enjoy it, but if this person leaves you in some way or something happens and this dissolves, that you know that you will go on and you will be fine and your life will continue to be a joyful life. But right now it is about sharing that in a very empowering and joyful way with this person while you're in this kind of connection with them. So it's a very different perception to be coming from, that lack of needing the other person to be okay within yourself and within your life. And that kind of like is the foundation for this whole perceptual change.
Oh, wow, that's so well said. And I wanted to add about what you said about in the past, you know, sharing all of our feelings and needing validation from the other person. Are there times now where, you know, people still require that validation as part of their process, but it's not from their romantic partners that they're needing or getting that from? Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, and nothing is black and white. So with everything that we say, you know, people need to take this and fit it into the context of their own life, their own relationships, and their own personal process. So say you're having some challenge with something and you really feel like you need to talk it through. You know, it may be that you want to do that or need to do that with your primary partner, or it may be that you can do that with somebody else. One of the things that happens is we tend to look towards our primary partner to fill all of our needs. And that's a huge burden and responsibility to put on another person. So that when they are not in a place where they can be how we want them or need them to be, all of a sudden we can get very unsettled, and this is where we go into trying to control another person. Now all of a sudden they're not free to be living their journey in a way that they see is most beneficial for them, because they are not living up to our expectations. So as we learn to seek out other people and realize we can have like that same level of intimacy through other people as well as what I would call our primary or our romantic relationships, that again is a huge shift. So now we're not putting all of that onto this one person. We have this perception that this is what makes this connection special.
That right, right.
Level of intimacy. So again, we're moving into a place, a day of consciousness where that connection is going outward, and we can really feel a deep level of connection and intimacy with friends, with coworkers, with family members, because it's all about our ability to open up and to share ourselves from that deep place and being okay. That doesn't always mean that, you know, we're going to be received with, you know, open arms all the time. Part of what we're learning to do is to gain a little bit of inner strength and resiliency in our inner self, in our core being, that we don't have to be totally accepted by everybody on the outside, and that doesn't have to deter us from sharing who we are. So that's another foundational piece that is very different, that inner authority, that self-empowerment, that inner resiliency, that we're developing. And we can handle a bit of rejection. It's not going to be the end of the world.
Well, what a huge, wow, a huge new shift in paradigm to think that, or to experience that we can have the same depth of intimacy with others that are not our primary romantic partner. Like that, for many people, that is a huge, like, what are you talking about? You know, like, because of that, it's so new, seemingly.
Yes. Yes. And it really makes us look at and question, okay, what makes this relationship different than other relationships? And it really has to do with the form. You know, you may choose to be monogamous with this person. It's that you're choosing to share daily living experiences with this person. But again, you can have intimacy come through different forms of relationship. And that's very exciting, because then we get fulfilled from that many more people.
Oh, absolutely. I was just speaking to a patient not that long ago who was raised very, very traditional, you know, back in the day when the parents really didn't share any, at least verbally, open, loving words with their children. And so now he's raising a teenage son, and the whole dynamic is kind of like this jostling and criticism and that kind of thing. And I just, you know, asked him a question. I said, you know, I'm just curious as to how often you actually verbally say something like you appreciate your son. And he just blushed, you know. And he said, well, you know, I don't do that. And I'm like, oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Is that, you know, and then we got to the whole thing where, well, his dad didn't do that. And of course he appreciates his son. And, you know, of course he should know that and that kind of thing. But it was interesting just how uncomfortable it was to even just to bring that up. And so, you know, there's still this challenge, you know, different aspects. Some people are, you know, maybe say everything all the time, and then other people are still in that place back in the 50s where we don't say anything.
Yes, and it's a very individual thing again, but it does come down to how do you express joy and love to another person. So for some people, it might be more verbal. For other people, it might be through more action. But it really has to do with, are you connected to that energy within yourself? Because it's through just emanating that energy and in your, what I would call your beingness, that other people respond to that. So they will just feel it. You know, we're so telepathic, we're so energetically sensitive that we do respond to these things and don't always know why and don't always have the words for it or understand what the process is about. But we are very in tune with each other. And so if someone is just feeling those loving, joyful thoughts, it gets communicated to the other person if that's their intention. So whether it's through the words or the actions. So again, don't get caught up in the form, but just the intention behind it.
Right, and I love what you said about it. You know, your own, or I'm paraphrasing here, but sort of your own ability to sense and be open to that. Because I realized over the years that, you know, my father wasn't much of a one to say things, and my mother was always mad about that. You know, she said she waited, I can't remember what she quoted last time, 40 years for him to say, you know, living life with you is a joy or something like that. And she was just floored and she cried in the whole bed. And but the funny thing is he's very much the man of action. So having, for me, experiencing him more recently has been more loving in my perception, because I realize that's how he does it, and that's okay, that I'm not expecting the verbal stuff from him. And just seeing the actions and seeing where it's coming from has really made our connection much more intimate, and that's because of a shift in me, not because necessarily a shift in him, although that has happened as a result, I think, as well.
Yes, that dynamic occurs very often. And that is why I can't tell you how many times I counsel people and say, you know, if you want to shift your relationship, then be the change you want to see. You know, a very famous person. I've quoted that, I believe, Gandhi.
Yes.
Very wise, wise man. You know, he did it on a very large scale, but we can live that same perception on a very small scale. So if you want to have, you know, more verbal communication with your partner or your mother or father or a friend, then open that up and you communicate those loving and joyful thoughts to them. And then just see where that goes. That may be a wonderful way of modeling for them. You know, it's like an invitation for them to see a different way of being. It gives them a sense of safety that says, oh, it's okay to verbally express these kinds of things. But also, I think because our nature is loving beings, and that's the core perception that I come from, I think we feel best about ourselves when we are acting out of that place. And the more that we can do that, it becomes just like a snowball. The more you feel good about yourself, and so that prompts you to just be that way some more. And next thing you know, you're just, you know, being that way with, you know, everybody that you meet.
Yes. And people just like being around you.
And they won't necessarily know why.
Know
like
why,
I
exactly.
Said. They won't have the words for it. They just know that, wow, I feel really good. I just had this wonderful interaction with this person, and I don't know what it was, but I'm feeling a little bit lighter in myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're just joining us, Dr. Karen here in the Law of Attraction Love Radio Show, and I'm interviewing my spiritual healer and relationship counselor, Patricia Lee Jones. And the topic today is experiencing relationship through presence and joy rather than woundedness. And the number to call in, if you'd like to call in live, is 347-945-6313. Again, that number is 347-945-6313, and then hit the number 1 so we know you have a live question. And I know, Pat, we have a few questions that were written in, and before I continue with mine, let's cover some of those questions. That sound good?
Very good.
Okay, awesome. So here's the question. Okay. I have a question for you that's related and has plagued me for about a year now, and that's about how long my former boyfriend and I have not been together. He's the most unique, interesting, and intense love that I've had, and I don't know how to give it up and believe that there's something better or more stable for me. He's had a family history of bipolar mania, and his father has had 9 wives so far, a trend that he is on with his own girlfriends. He never seems to be satisfied, and although I was one of his longest relationships, I feel defeated that I couldn't, quote, be enough. He is constantly floating in and out of my life, and each time it ends in a heartache, yet I never seem to be strong enough to let him go for good. I know that I'm a better person without him, but there is something between us that just won't let me get away. What advice do you have? What do you suggest? That's your question.
Well, this one really comes down to the underlying dynamic here. This one's pretty clear when she talks about feeling defeated, that she couldn't be enough, and how he continues to come into her thoughts. So what she's actually doing is looking for and creating another opportunity where she can validate being enough. So if she has this, and this is all on the subconscious level, but as I read the energy into it and hear the words that she's saying, this is what I'm picking up. So if she can create another opportunity for him to come into her life, and she can prove that she is enough by him choosing to be with her, then that's how she is validating her sense of worth. This is where this flip-flop of if she can make the internal commitment to herself that she will learn to validate herself. She will come to see that she is enough, regardless of whether or not somebody else chooses to be with her or accepts her at whatever level, then that is going to really diffuse the energy of this situation in particular, at least in my perceptions, and that's what I would recommend with her. And that opens up a whole area of self-reflection and personal growth for her if she can, you know, begin on that path.
So it doesn't sound like the easiest thing.
No.
Yeah, you know, not feeling enough. I know that one well personally.
Yeah.
And have done a lot of work around that. And so, you know, would so if she were to sort of buy in and say, okay, so I need to grow and somehow I have to feel like I am enough, like what would her first steps be? What would she actually sort of action in the real world do? Potentially.
I think the first thing she would, I would recommend for her to do is that she pick up a book on mindfulness in the foundational perceptions of mindfulness. Mm. Because this is going to help set the tone for any personal growth that goes on. And in the basic perspectives on mindfulness, this is where you're getting into non-judgment and compassion and being in a state of loving kindness and being in a state of acceptance while at the same time you're trying to move into a place of creating something new. So even though she's in this place of placing her self-worth onto somebody else, can she be okay with that? That would be the very first step. Can she be okay with where she is at and see that, wow, this is part of my journey this time around. This is what I'm here to learn and to grow in and to experience. So to make that process of personal growth a joyful one. And there's just so many variables of different ways that she could go from there. But she will be led. You know, her intuition will kick in and her guidance will kick in. And she will have those thoughts or those feelings that say, oh, I kind of feel pulled towards here. I think I'm going to explore this. And so to just kind of follow her own intuition and trust herself.
And what are your favorite mindfulness books that you've really felt a resonance with that has been helpful for you or your clients?
I recommend Pema Chodron a lot. She is a Catholic Buddhist nun. I believe that was her background. She has a very soft and gentle approach. You know, she has a couple of great books, When Things Fall Apart, Start From Where You're At, The Wisdom of No Escape. That's a really great one. Also, Eckhart Tolle and The Power of Now. Even though this book is over a decade old, his basic premise of, you know, being in the present moment and being in a state of acceptance is very, very helpful. And Neil Donald Walsh is my other current favorite author, because all of these writers are giving a very similar message, but just from a slightly different perspective. So you can see whose words and whose style of writing you resonate with most.
Okay. Yeah, so again, trusting that intuition piece that as to what will best serve you is what you're saying.
Yes, and that, you know, that's an important piece, not just within the narrow context of what we're talking about, but in the larger scale is really trusting and coming from that place where of knowing we are always leading ourselves into what is best for us. And that's a very hard concept for us to really believe, that sense of trust in ourselves. And also to realize that we are connected to a much larger energetic body of consciousness that's trying to find its own equilibrium, its own balance, its own expression of its highest truth. And so not only are we doing that on a personal level, but we are being carried literally carried energetically from that larger body of consciousness in the same way. And when you start letting go of trying to work so hard at making things happen and just allowing yourself to be in that place of synchronicity, setting intentions, but with a nice, gentle energy, one of ease, then you really start moving more into joy and less from fear.
Oh, yeah, I definitely resonate with what you're saying. And then so much of what I've done in the past is really what I used to call making things happen, you know?
Yeah.
When people would even say things like, oh, you know, it'll happen for you, and meaning that, you know, the flow will just, you know, it'll appear. You don't have to work so hard. And I would get upset, you know, inside, and I'd be like, yeah, it's going to happen because I'm going to make it happen, you know? Yeah, it was like fighting against, and I think it, thanks to my illness, was really the best opportunity I had because I could not fight any longer. I mean, there was no energy to fight, to keep that kind of crusading energy going, and I really had to start learning how to surrender. And I do this still every day where sometimes I'll keep questioning my judgment about things. I'm like, why did I do that? You know, and then I'll find out later that, oh, wow, this is exactly what I needed to do, but I had no idea that I was doing it right. So I love what you're saying about that. It's wonderful. Well, let's do another question. How about that?
Okay.
All right. So here is one. Okay, what are some everyday ways to breathe joy into a long-term, meaning 25 years or more, relationship when one of you is committed and aware of the intention and not the other? And what do you do if you meet with resistance? So a very short question, but loaded with...
Oh, yes, this is a very rich question.
Yeah.
And I hear this question a lot. So the first thing I would do is work with this perception that only one of you is committed or aware of this intention. I would say that perhaps on the conscious or the shared level, that might be true. But I do believe that that's part of what everybody is trying to experience in relationships. They're trying to experience joy and love and connection. So if you can let go of that perception that only one of you is committed or aware of the intention and trust that you do both want the same thing on that basic core level. So if you meet this resistance, I would say there's something going on your end energetically with what you are putting out. What is your intention behind trying to breathe joy into the relationship? Is it because you're in that place where you then want the other person to be a certain way so that you can then get something from them? Like, are you placing your ability to experience joy on the other person? They're not being joyful in a particular way that I think it should be expressed. Does that mean that I can't be joyful? So this is where we're going to shift the perception completely and try to come from that place of, okay, be the change that you want to see. Are you being joyful in this relationship in very small and very large ways? On a very concrete level, it might be physical affection, just touch. How often are you touching your partner with not an energy of, I want something from you, but just, I want to just share my joy and my love with you. Many people find it challenging to stay in that joyful, loving place over a long period of time because, one of the mindfulness tools is having beginner's eyes or beginner's mind or fresh eyes, however you want to call that. So are you carrying things? Are you carrying judgments, resentments, baggage from 25 years ago that is not allowing you to see your partner fresh in the present day? That's one of the greatest drains of joy and love in connection, in long-term connection. So that goes back to looking at what are those judgments and those energies that you're carrying all about. Are you needing your partner to be a certain way for you to be okay? Another just very concrete thing that you can be doing on a daily basis, again, is just what are you verbally sharing with your partner? Are you, do you talk to them just about the practical things that need to be done around the house or schedules and all of that, and you're not sharing those more intimate or more emotional levels of being and conversing with your partner. But if you're not really feeling it underneath, it's going to be more challenging. So coming back and looking at what is really going on for you, making that invitation to your partner, and then you're going to see where the relationship goes from there, because it's going to shift one way or the other if you start changing your way of being.
Ah, so what you're saying is that, you know, if that the underlying resonance is there and there may be a shift more, you know, like what you were hoping for, or that connection is deeper, but there can also be the opposite where it's totally dissonant. Is that what you're saying? That it could, you know, that that person would be like, whoa, I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah, and if that happens, if you're coming from a respectful, loving place, then things just sort of become apparent on both ends. If it does get to that point, if you realize that you and your partner are just not experiencing what either one of you wants to experience in this connection anymore, that also means, and here it goes back to not putting your basic sense of well-being onto your partner, mm-hmm. would you be okay with making a change in the form? Or are you feeling financially dependent upon this person, emotionally dependent? Any kind of dependency is one of the real counterproductive energies of staying in a joyful, loving place, because then the other person isn't free to be who they are, and you aren't free to be who you are either, because you're saying, oh, I need to stay here because,
right.
you know, I can't find my own way or make my own way financially in the world. So there's just lots of big questions there to look at.
Yeah, I think that that's come up several times recently in my patient practice where, you know, either the partnership is clear, well, at least in my, you know, my perception is clearly dissolved already on many different fronts, but that the form is still the same and both partners are just getting more and more dissonant with each other. And but the reason that they're still physically together is because they have either thought that they're supposed to be
mm-hmm.
and that they're trying to save the children or whatever. And the kids know. I mean, you know, they're not, they know their parents aren't happy. I mean, they can feel it. But also that financially is a big piece, is that they don't feel they can make it on their own.
Right.
So they stay
right.
with someone who clearly doesn't want to be with them, has told them they don't want to be with them, but neither partner has really been able to say, okay, we got to actually put some action steps here. So they just kind of hang on and either just stop talking to each other, or they're fighting all the time, and it's just a really challenging place to stay stuck in.
Yeah. But there really is a lot to be said about how things can shift towards a more joyful and loving place if you really make that internal commitment to be that way yourself. It really is amazing how people respond to that. And if you just think about what are your thoughts about your partner throughout the day, are you thinking, oh, he's not going to want to, you know, talk about this because, you know, he's going to get defensive, and that they're picking that up.
Yep.
So if you can immediately reframe that and say, okay, this may have been our experience in the past or my experience with him in the past, but I am open to a new experience with my partner. That's having that beginner's mind perception. I am open to experiencing him and seeing him in a new way, and I'm going to hold the energy of inviting him into that place. But I am just going to be who I am, myself, my joyful and loving being, and bring that to him, just because I'm going to feel best about myself and my way of relating when I'm coming from that place. And it's amazing how different you can experience your life when you come from that perception.
Oh, that's beautiful. And if you're just joining us, you're on the Law of Attraction and Love radio show, and my guest today is Patricia Lee Jones, formerly Patricia Lee Dion. And our topic for today is experiencing relationship through presence and joy rather than woundedness. And if you'd like to ask a question live, it's 347-945-6313, and then hit the number 1 so we can see that your hand is up. The number again is 347-945-6313. So, Pat, I love what you're saying about that. You know, a lot of times we're trying to control our partners to make ourselves happy, you know, sort of the old paradigm. And a lot of what you're saying is really so much we can do within ourselves that can create the opportunity for the things that we do want to see in our outside world to happen. And I've certainly experienced more and more of that of late. And it really is just magical when you see the results of that coming from within. I mean, we always hear about it, but it's really... I don't think people in general, at least I certainly didn't realize just how profound that effect can be. Instead of me trying to change the other person, just go, well, how can I perceive this differently? And it's so quick sometimes how the outside world seems to change around you.
Yes.
And, I'm going to back up a little bit for those of our listeners that are either joining us may or may not be a little lost if they're sort of new in talking about this kinds of forms of relationship. When we talk about the topic, experiencing relationship through presence and joy, what exactly do you mean by presence? Like, what is presence in relationship? How would you define that?
Your presence is your energy based upon who you are, or what I would call your beingness, rather than what you are doing. It has to do with bringing all of our energy, all of our thoughts, all of our feelings from the past or the future, where we are usually projecting them. If you think about, you know, what are your thoughts during the day, and what are the things that make you feel anxious and worried, it's usually because you're in the past or in the future. So when you're in the present moment and you're just coming from that place, your capacity to have as much of your energy in the present moment and just being who you are, coming from what I would also call your core or your essence, which is your divine level of being, all of that packaged together is what I would call your presence.
Wow. I noticed, and you really helped me with this, is that some of the language that I've used really points back to where I'm coming from, which wasn't necessarily present when I would say, to my partner, you always XYZ, you know.
Yeah.
You always did X. And then you pointed out, wait a second, let's stay present here and let's, you know, let go of the past. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. I just made this, you know, I just brought the past into the present.
Yeah.
By saying, well, you always do things this way, you know, or I always do things that way. or this is the way it is. Again, bringing the past and the present. So it's so so not, I don't want to say addicting, but it's almost addicting to do that, you know, just to bring our past present.
Oh, that, Karen, that brings up such a good point. It's such a big self-awareness piece, because you're right, that is an addiction. It's an addiction of the mind structure that we have, and what we would call our ego or our lower self will absolutely bring up the past to prevent us from going forward in a new way. Because our ego or our lower self wants to keep us in the familiar. Even if we're going to move into something that's really joyful for us, the ego and the lower self is going to bring up those old patterns to put us into fear so that we don't move forward. And this can be very, very intense. I remember when I first met my husband, Paul, and I had, you know, really become clear on everything that I wanted to experience in relationship. And then, you know, the connection was made. The first 2 weeks that we were in connection, I physically felt like I was free falling. And I was in so much terror. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what was going on, because it seemed as if this was going to be everything that I had really desired in an intimate romantic relationship. So why was I in this level of terror? And if I didn't really take the time to recognize, wow, this was my ego's way of really keeping me held back from moving forward into a very different way of relating, I could have just let that whole thing go. I would have said, wow, I'm just in too much fear. I'm too afraid of being hurt. I'm too afraid of, you know, I would have dredged up all of these things from my past to keep me from going forward in a very new and different way. And oftentimes when we're ready to make the biggest shifts within ourselves is when we will have the most intense level of fear and the most intense level of these thought patterns coming forward, because our ego knows, oh, I'm really close to having the game be up.
Well, that's really interesting. It brings up a really important point and distinction I wanted to ask you about. And before I ask you that question, I wanted to share with you that when I first met James, my partner, it was a very innocent, you know, drumming in the park kind of thing. And when I got home that day, I had intense stomach pain. I mean, it was intense. I had that stomach pain like that. My friend that I was staying with, she was giving me a hot water bottle. It was doubled over, you know, on the floor, and I couldn't understand what the heck was going on. I didn't know. I didn't eat anything right, and it was only an afterwards, I think, when I was talking to you about it months later, that I realized that that was intense fear.
Yes.
On some level, some intuitive level, my ego, my body knew that, oh, this is the relationship that's really going to be like, you know, the one that's going to stretch you and grow you. But I had no idea at the time. I mean, I just met the guy, you know, and I just thought, oh, well, he's kind of cute, but, you know, he's a little young, and then I'll just pawn him off to some other girl. You know, he's real sweet, but he's not who I'm looking for. But it was just this intense body reaction, so I really resonate with your story. And one of the things I wanted to bring up was that how does a person differentiate between what they might construe as their intuition, like not to go forward because they're feeling bad feelings or they're feeling fear or whatever, versus that struggle with the ego, which is like you stretching to that new place and that ego is trying to prevent you from going to that new place. How do you differentiate the ego from what some people might call your intuition?
Well, if you're just in the beginning stages of really learning to recognize your intuition and differentiate it from the other thoughts, feelings, perceptions that you have, it's very difficult to do this on your own, especially when it's an emotionally charged situation. And this is where I would recommend having some kind of mentor, teacher, counselor for a period of time because they can help you to learn to differentiate. You know, when you think about it, you know, a few months or a few years out of the entire span of your life to get that nice foundational support is really very little. And then after a while, when you're used to, you know, how those vibrations feel different in yourself, you learn to recognize the voice of your inner authority or your own internal intuition, you know, again, whatever name you want to put on that, then you become more self-regulating. Then you go more into understanding those patterns just from your own internal guidance. But in the beginning, it's very, very difficult. And so having a really good teacher or mentor or counselor of some kind so that they can help you recognize the patterns and the ways that the energies might play out, it can be very, very helpful.
Okay. So it's not necessarily some sort of thing we're supposed to be good at the beginning when we're born.
Not necessarily, only because we have learned to buffer it so well and there can be so many variables. And the manifestations can look the same. So really learning to discern that takes someone who's really been learning to use that voice and hear that voice over a number of years, then we can get in that, yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this is similar for other people, but for me personally, I'm differentiating the voice of what I call anxiety and then the intuitive guidance or what I call intuition. And the funny thing is the intuitive voice, at least in my personal experience, has just been really quiet, just really neutral, not necessarily charged with much emotion. It's just sort of a thought that says, oh, what about this? And I mean, it's very interesting that as I start to be more quiet in my mind, I can hear this other thought process, which feels really different from what I previously may have called intuition, which was just anxiety.
Yeah, a big clue is if it's coming from any kind of fear, that's usually an ego or a lower self speaking to you rather than your higher self.
Interesting. Well, when my intuition teacher, she said when 9/11 hit, previous to that, she said something, you know, you're not going to be able, even a you know, well-known intuitive is not going to necessarily know everything about everything that's going to happen. I mean, you'd probably go insane if that was the case. But she said that in the months prior to 9/11, that her and her husband decided that for whatever reason, they were reading about earthquakes, and they decided that it would be good to be prepared for earthquakes. So they started, you know, they're in New York City, so they started, you know, packing away bottles of water and gas masks, and they just went into action based on the sense of we need to do this. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a crisis. It wasn't a feeling of fear. It was just sort of like, you know, this would be smart, you know. And they went and collected all this stuff. And, of course, 9/11 hit, and they were close by. So they were able to help a lot of people because they had the gas mask, they had the water, they had, you know, all this stuff. And she said, well, I didn't know 9/11 was going to hit. I didn't know, but I'd lived down the road. And but we were prepared, and so my intuition helped me be there for others, but it wasn't in the form that I had originally thought, which was, you know, she was just, for whatever reason, decided she was going to pack all that stuff for a future earthquake. So it's really interesting.
That's a great example of oftentimes how your intuition can flow through you.
Yeah, really neat. And I want to make sure that those people that are listening who really resonated and enjoyed this interview has a chance to discover some of the things that you do with your clients, with your workshop. So if you could let us know, you know, where people can contact you, your website maybe, or email address and what sorts of things that you do either in person or via the phone, that'd be great.
Yep. My website, which is www.healingadventures.com, is always being upgraded and new things added to it, especially now since my husband has kind of taken over my website management. So that has been very, very helpful. So there's more audio downloads and just information and inspirational things. So it's turning into a much more interactive and educational website, which is really what I have been trying to create for so many years. People can call me by phone. It's 518-524-3422. I also have an online newsletter, which they can sign up for, which is on the very first page of my website to receive all kinds of information. And besides the couples and the personal counseling that I do classes and lectures on many different topics relating to spirituality and energy work. And am in the process also right now of just completing my first book, which is entitled Kiya Reiki, A Path to Personal and Global Transformation. And that is going to be a really wonderful tool for a lot of people to learn about and experience Reiki energy and how to incorporate that into the context of their lives. That being a Reiki master does not mean that you necessarily have a private practice and do Reiki healings on the table with someone. That it is about being a Reiki healer in the context of what's already happening in your life. So that's a very exciting venture that's going on right now as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. That is so great.
I haven't talked a whole lot about it.
Well, no, that is wonderful. I think it's just so needed, and what a great project, and I'm so excited about that. And I know from my own personal experience and working with you is that, you know, in the past, for me, it was very structured. Like, gosh, if I'm, you know, a Reiki master, Reiki healer, then I got to do Reiki on the table. And gee, I didn't get enough healings done. And boy, that was not that good, you know, and there's all this judgment around that. And a lot of what I've gotten from you is really about who I am and the beingness that I am that makes the biggest difference. So, you know, so it's not as big a deal if I can't, for the life of me, remember how to draw one of the symbols, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, and just more about, you know, what the person, the core essence, and that in and of itself is healing, and that's been so helpful for me because it keeps me grounded and centered and keeps doing my work because, you know, part of my motivation, of course, is to help others. And so in the past it's been about sacrificing myself to do that, but now I can see that, wow, if I don't do that for myself, then I really am taking away from others. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so just everybody connect with Pat on her website. It's an awesome website. It's www.healingadventures.com. I love that name, Healing Adventures, because that's so true.
It is an adventure.
Totally is an adventure.
Yes, hopefully a very joyful one. And if anything, that's really the perspective that I try to invite people into, that, you know, life really is a joyful adventure. And I believe it was in one of Marian Williamson's chapters of one of her books, it was all about happiness is a decision. And every day Paul and I say that to each other, you know, happiness is a decision. Doesn't matter what goes on today, we have a choice to be happy and to come from a joyful, loving place. And boy, that's such a wonderfully empowering perspective to live from.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a wonderful place for us to end today. So thank you very much again, Pat. I just love having you on the show and imparting your wisdom to all of us. So I love you.
Thank you for all of your work and all of your gifts and contributions, Karen. Very much
My
appreciated.
All right. So goodbye, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you enjoyed the show and you're online, please mark it as your favorite. Greatly appreciate it. And to connect with Pat, it's www.healingadventures.com. And to connect with me, it's www.lawofattractioninlove.com. Okay, goodbye, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Thanks, Pat. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.